Welcome to Hammered in Helios, a 5th edition spirited Dungeons & Dragons homebrew campaign. During each session, our cast not only tries to survive the cruel Dungeon Master's plans, but also reviews a delicious bottle of liquor. Remember, whether you're adventuring through a fantasy world or just listening to ours, please drink responsibly.
I'm Dean Rains. I play Oren Can Fix It, a gnome battlesmith artificer.
My name is Garrett Carty, and I play Iknath Redjaw, an orc ranger monster slayer.
My name is Brandon Jacobs, and I used to play Croft, a human rogue. And now I play Victorin Amberhall IV, a human rogue burglar.
I'm Mike Williams, and I play Anissan Variothean, a wood elf, evocation wizard.
And I'm Owen Landsberg, your evil, cruel, malicious, but lovingly tender dungeon master.
And this week we're reviewing Brook Laddie, Islay Barley, 2011.
Now let's get hammered!
Poppy!
All right, so we are officially recording. Everyone good? Ready to get in character?
I'm always in character.
That's staying in the podcast. Hey, everybody. Owen here, your evil, cruel, malicious, but lovingly tender dungeon master. Just want to say something before we begin the pilot episode of Hammered in Helios. We recorded this episode months ago, and we did not know what we were doing. We built a podcasting studio inside my house in one of my spare rooms. We didn't know how to properly acoustically treat it. We didn't know where to put panels or the moving blankets or how to even set up the microphones properly. So there's going to be some sound issues with this episode, and I have to apologize for that. But we learned so much from this episode that by the time the second episode is released, we fixed all the audio issues with it. So if you can bear with us for this pilot episode, it'd mean a lot, and I promise you there's no more issues after this episode. Anyways, I hope you enjoy the pilot episode of Hammered in Helios. The 23rd of Palum, the once bustling city of Asema, is now near empty. The chains of Emrius came looking for the heroes, but once they were spotted, the thousands of ships that anchored and made Asema a city sailed off. Only the decommissioned ships remained. A few ships have started to make their way back into Asema, anchoring themselves to one another, and soon, hopefully, the city will return to its normal chaos. Having cheated in a game of dice against Iknath, Victorin Amberhall IV scammed his way into the group. Now our heroes sit in the Howling Cutlass, the only tavern that remained in the city, discussing how to get into Cork and take down House Tane. The Howling Cutlass has seen better days, though. It's an old galley ship in desperate need of repairs. The fresh, salty sea air has started to corrode and eat away at the wood. Barnacles have crept up the sides of the ship and almost onto the main deck. A sole musician plays music in the corner, while Sogo, the owner, an old orc that isn't in much better shape than the ship that he is in, is wearing a pine green smock and cinnamon brown pants. He sweeps the floor, seeing as this is the only tavern left in the city, it is actually quite busy. There's only a few tables left that are open, and everything else is fully packed with various inhabitants of Asema. What do you all do?
Iknath is going to, assuming we're sitting around like a circular table, kind of put his elbow down on the table and shoulder kind of away from Victorin. Sorry, this is going to take a Victorin, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to take a minute just for me to get.
No, that was perfect. Thank you.
I'm going to say to the listeners, if we accidentally say Croft, we don't mean Croft. It's Victorin, because Brando decided to retire his character, Croft, a session before the podcast started.
So it's good stuff. So I'm going to kind of shoulder it away. Like, he's obviously at the table, but I'm now talking to Anessin and Oren. Or Iknath is talking to them. I'm going to say, for helping kill the dragon, I think it's necessary that while I receive these dragon parts, that you guys receive your side of the loot. And I'm going to pass both Orin and Anessen 100 gold pieces each from my own pouch.
Ignith, I appreciate that. You are always honorable and above reproach.
I believe we already received our payment in the form of the hoard. I don't think anything additional was necessary.
The money is nothing worth to me as much as the dragon parts were.
All right, you've convinced me.
Sogo, the old orc owner, approaches the table.
Is there anything? I see your glasses are empty. Is there anything, another round or anything you'd like?
Another glass of whatever we were having before.
It's been a few weeks since we last played, so if you could remind me what you were drinking. Elvish fruited wine, yes, okay.
For the whole tavern, please, on me.
The whole tavern.
Oh, yes, the round on me.
We know, we see people always say round, but it's usually for their friends. You realize the tavern has like 50 plus people here right now.
Absolutely. We're having a great time tonight. It's the start of adventure.
I'm going to need payment up front for that.
Absolutely, sir.
50 people, I'm going to say 25 gold. Say it's 50 cents a cup because it's pretty good. All right. Pretty good stuff. Hell yeah. Yeah. For the listeners at home, it's
30.
Yeah. Ooh. For a tip, give me a persuasion check with that. At advantage because you tipped him extra 5 gold.
That would be a...
First roll of the podcast, people.
16.
Okay. Your next round for the table will be free. Yeah. And for the listeners at home, why we're saying elvish fruited wine is because if you actually do history on the elves, they don't live anywhere where grapes naturally grow. So if it's like, oh, it's supposed to be just regular wine, why grapes don't grow in forests. It grows in Mediterranean climates, not in forests. So it's fruited wine in my world. So suck it. Wow, the scotch is already hitting me. Cool. Yeah, 3 glasses in, I think, whatever it is. All right.
Little gnome, is there anything you'd like?
A glass of whiskey, please.
Is there a particular style of whiskey you would like?
I would definitely take one of your finest, your brew Lottie.
I believe that's made by the mountain dwarves of the Vreland Mountains.
Yes, from the Eilie region.
I said Vreland Mountains.
Sorry, it was it's just a dialect issue.
Oh. Is Eilie a gnomish word that I should know?
It is, but it isn't. One scotch, please.
one scotch coming up. Other orc, Whelpling, would you also like fruited elven wine?
For I am not a Whelpling.
Term of endearment, it actually is. Like, so older orcs, never mind, yeah, no. Older orcs refer to younger young orcs blood. As, yeah, younger young orcs okay. as Whelplings. It's not like a, like a Whelpling's like a baby dragon. It's not meant to be like a baby dragon. It's meant to be like a term of like, cause well, yeah, baby yeah, dragons yeah. will so got, fuck you
it.
Up.
I got it. Yeah. I'll have what the gnome is having.
Okay. Don't worry about the extra cost there. What was your name again?
Victorin.
Victorin. I don't know why I forgot that.
Victorin Amberhall the Fourth.
Yeah.
Amberhall.
He's easily forgettable.
Most My humans are.
God, you don't recognize me either. How refreshing. Oh, to be a commoner just
he
like
turns in the middle of your sentence and walks away. Like, even though you overpaid, he's quite happy, but still.
I salute him. I'm having a great
time. Yeah, all right. He goes in and just starts pouring glass after glass after glass of wine and just starts handing it out to everybody that's in the bar, everybody, and he's like, everyone's like, what's going on? Like, and they, every single time Sogo points at you, Amber Hall, and like, everyone's like, hey, and like they raise a glass, eventually goes around. And even the bard sings like a little tune and he like works your name into the tune somehow.
Oh, and I'm standing and like swaying it. I'm like one of those bachelorettes just on Broadway having a great time.
That is not a visual that I ever want to imagine. Because I don't see Amber Hall. I see Brando doing that. I'm and just that's like, yeah, cool. All right, sweet. All right, so you guys all cheers, drinks, yada, 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 having a good time. A couple minutes goes by. What would you guys like to do?
So, Victorin, what brings you out looking for adventure?
I have lived my whole life in wealth and joy and happiness, succeeding at everything I do. And honestly, it becomes quite dull after a while. You wouldn't believe it, but it does. I look at you common folk and I find myself envious of you, scratching your existence in the dirt. Ha ha! It looks amazing. It looks fun. The adventure you live in, the thrills. It makes my heart race. And so I would love to join you just for a piece of adventure, a piece of whatever it is you commoners do.
Well, I would warn you, there are multiple types of lives you can live, outside of the royal lifestyle. You could end up back in Seraph, scratching in the dirt and hanging out with the commoners. But for what we tend to do, not to toot our own horn, but we did just slay an actual dragon. Have you ever even seen a dragon?
My gods, no! You've killed a dragon! I have found the right group. Oh, surely this will lead to adventure, Victor, and it will, it will. No, I've never seen a dragon, nor would I want to, but whatever monsters you may come across, I can swing a sword, I guarantee you.
Well, Ichnath, you have accrued quite a collection of weapons at this point. I'm sure you could use someone to carry them for you in battle.
After handing on off to Kosk, I don't know if I need someone to carry something yet. But I'm sure after more spoils, this man who thinks himself something better than common, yet to be blooded or defeating of any sort, might be able to hold something.
Oh, he can definitely hold my backpack. I'm fine with that.
Have you ever seen a wizard kill 5 men with a fireball at once?
My God.
Something to truly behold. It's beautiful.
No, indeed, but I would love to. Is this the thing that is in the everyday life of commoners? Is this how you live?
Again, to be called common, I'm God-touched. Something I'm sure you wouldn't understand.
Of course you are.
Fancy clothing.
No, you are special, as we all are. But seriously, I will carry bags, I will swing swords, I will sleep in the dirt, I will eat worms, all that you normally do in your normal lives, I will do it all.
Ichnath will once again do the arm across the table to look at the other two companions, Oren and Nessun. We'll say, well, as long as he carries bags, he's just as annoying as Croft, we could keep him along.
I'm not sure. He may have taken it up a notch or two or three.
Victor, and you hear all of this, by the way. Like, they're trying to catch you out, but...
Oh, I just say, Ichnath is doing none of this to be, like, sneaky. It is just, like, obviously setting his arm down on the table to look at the other two people at the table.
Yeah. I just want to put that on the record.
Victorian's got this big, cheesy smile on his face. I have seen how they do this. They insult each other. This is how the commoners show love. That means I am accepted among you.
given that we do have an opening per se, I'm okay with letting Victorin tag along for now.
He can't be any worse than Croft was. I mean, Croft couldn't hack it with us, and so we'll see if this Victor and Amber Hall character can do any better.
I'm fine with having him along. He's won his game with the gods and a game of dice against me. But how do we know we can trust him?
Oh, trust is earned, as we learned with Croft. I mean,
trust is earned, but where are you from, Victor and Amber Hall?
Oh shit, I forgot.
Fendon. Oh my god, Mike, I actually thought maybe that was Brando for
maybe
a second.
Maybe not
Nation
coming.
Of my god.
Maybe oh not coming god. From the city of Cork. Searching with the rest of the chains who have obviously
the family of you
departed this
commoners.
Area.
No.
Sorry, Gary, that was some great stuff, but
it's all good.
That was good.
Fendon, right? I can do it again.
I said Fendon.
I'm from Fendon, the great house Amber Hall is known all throughout that land. But it is refreshing to be among you, to be just like the rest of you. I'm not famous everywhere I've gone. It's Victorin, please sign my parchment. Victorin, please kiss my baby. But here, I'm just another commoner.
this will be a question for Owen.
Yeah.
Would I know who Victorin was? So, I know we talked about this last time, but I just literally can't remember.
Yeah, well, that
was
after we are called Hammered in Helios. So
how many glasses in are we on?
I'm about to be on my third. Fendon is actually a city very close to Umbral in the Hungarian Jungle.
I trade in Fendon. We have known associates in Fendon from the Chromatic and the Elementals that trade within the city.
Gotcha. Give me a... I'm going to call it a history check with intelligence. Yeah, I feel like... But this is where
Ignath exceeds.
I'm going to give you advantage on this.
You don't need to do that.
Oh, it's going to happen, though.
Wow. In a typical Ignath fashion... history check. Yeah. So that is a 3 and a 5.
Oh God!
It's a classic intelligence check for Ignath.
Yeah, but when it comes to Brandon's characters, you have always rolled high. So like rolling high. Okay.
This is the problem. Croft is gone, and I'm losing my perception on the character.
You're not gonna know my secrets now.
So the Wood Elves are from Elvenor, which is on the same.
Yes, it is. Thank you for name dropping more of my cities. If you would also. Nessun.
Why did you put me in their continent? This was him that put me in there.
Yeah, well, you know. Nessun, I will also give you advantage on this history check.
Oh, the intelligence?
Yeah. As the wizard rolls intelligence. Yeah.
That's a 19 plus 7.
We're best friends.
26.
Plus 7?
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh my God, you have a plus 7 in history? I should know my characters better. Yeah, okay, so Nessun, even with that high of a roll, you actually, I'm gonna say something really quick. So Victorin, I'm actually going to ask for you to give me I'm not gonna say it because I want some mystery, but I'm gonna ask you to roll a d20 and then hand me your character sheet. What was your roll?
10.
It's a 10. Middle of the road.
I meant to say at advantage.
Oh, okay.
13, maybe.
13, okay. And Nessun, what did you roll? 27?
26.
Okay. Nessun, you have never heard of the House Amperhall.
And I'm guessing I've never heard of Victorin either.
That's
not a surprising thing for me, though.
No, with a 5, definitely not. But there's tons of major and minor houses. You guys have seen my fucking player's handbook. Yeah, like, you know that. So you've never heard of Amperhall. I'm going to let you take that.
Yeah. And given Anessence, like transient.
And also, can I?
So I'll can Dean.
Dean?
Yes.
Hi, Dean. Can the Dungeon Master have more scotch, please?
No.
Roll at advantage, Owen.
Dexterity?
Roll for scotch, please.
I always roll 20s, so...
He's got a plus 7 in scotch.
I will continue on the line in questioning. I've never heard from you from Fendon via my traders, via my family. How do we know you're not someone from Cork? The city has seemed to desert itself quickly upon our latest arrival, and you are conveniently here to question us about what we're doing.
Ah, Cork! That garbage hole. No, look at this jacket. Look at this hat. This quality does not come from Cork, I assure you that. But you are telling me you've never heard of Victorin Amberhall IV trading in Fendon. Seriously.
We focus more on the name of dragons where I'm from.
Oh, of course, you orc. Oh, wonderful orcs.
Well, I will have to say that given all of my travels and time on Elvenor and Fendon and the Hungan Jungle and really all over, I've never heard of you either.
Seriously? Never heard of the Great House Amberhall? Not even an inkling, a rumor, nothing?
Yeah, must not be so great.
What are the chances? Here I am, in a Sema with people from the same continent of me, and you've never heard? Oh, my... Never would have dreamed to have been so refreshed.
Seems like you'll have to prove those fancy clothes in my rite of passage.
Yes, prove myself through merit. The things that I do, not how I was born. Oh, that's how you value each other. You will see Victor and Amberhall will be victorious.
We've never called it merit. We just call it killing.
Oh, killing indeed.
I'm sorry. That was like the line in Tropic Thunder. It's like, I don't know what it's called. I just know what the sound it makes
when it goes off.
Oh, man. That was a good one. So Sogo walks back up and he's carrying a giant platter just full of various meats, cheeses, and breads, and walks up and goes,
"This one's on the house. The entire inn and tavern is very thankful for your donation of fruited elven wine to them and me as well. So here, this is for you all."
And he like lays out, it's nothing fancy, but it actually tastes better than it looks. Like, it doesn't look like it's going to be all that great. It's just like some basic shit, but like you bite into it and it actually is pretty good. Like, Sogo knows what he's doing in the kitchen.
And Victorin is actually like looking at you guys to see how to eat it. Cause just loving the novelty of you touching it with your fingers.
Orc Master, can you tell us anything of why the city is minimized? Why all these boats have left to make it so much smaller?
A couple of days ago, chains of Emrys showed up. And in the distance on the horizon, when we saw them, many of the ships that make up of Sema pulled anchor and as fast as they possibly could got out of the city. They said that when the chains arrived, they were questioning for...
And you see, like, the ding, like the light bulb goes on in his head when he starts talking. He goes, and he, like, looks around at the three of you, and possibly fourth, actually fourth, because it was a human.
They were actually questioning about an orc, a gnome, a wood elf, and a human from Seraph.
Oh, this is a
deception. Deception, please and thank you. I'm going to even say at disadvantage because
he's got
20.
I'm going to cut the fuck it. I'm going to cut the disadvantage out. Nat 20. Inessen's first roll on the podcast is a Nat 20.
You can see my blooded mark on my cheek, for I'm from the Hungen, not from Seraph. That's adding on to the Nat 20.
Yeah, I feel like that's like... Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes. You're all right. You easily, all four of you could not be from Seraph, even though it's a thing of traveling, not of origin of where you were born. But yes, obviously, the four of you, even though you all fit the exact description, cannot be it.
Correct.
That fucking Nat 20s. Exactly.
Can I put 5 gold pieces on the table?
You don't need to. Anessen rolled a Nat 20.
Okay.
Just make a try. You're good. You're good. No, he's like fully, it's like, I know Owen is saying it jokingly, but he really is like,
no, you guys were here actually like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah. Same guys.
Mr. Barkeep, may I ask you, why is it they were looking for these people from Seraph?
They said they were harboring a fugitive, someone wanted by the law, and also for arson and murder.
Oh my, sounds like a dastardly bunch.
Yes. I mean, here in Asema, there is a lot of chaos. Each ship rules its own, but people are worse everywhere, I guess.
Well, I assure you, we will keep our eyes out, and if we see anyone matching that description, we will inform the authorities.
Well, the chains are gone. They only stayed for a day. After majority of the ships left, they realized they couldn't get any information.
Yes. Can we have some more cheese, please?
Yes, and he turns around and walks away.
Orc Master.
And he turns around and walks back to the table.
I'm sorry for this man telling you what to do. Can you confirm that there were no chains left in the city? Did they all leave?
I mean, we saw the ship sail away.
How many ships came in?
Just one. I'm sure that it's possible that they left scouts or spies or mercenaries or assassins. but...
Spies among us. Oh, my.
When did you see this Victorian man show up here?
Today.
Yes, I arrived today. I told her that. You believe I am a spy for Emrys? No, no. Emrys is far too boring for me.
All right, I'll do my insight check then.
Against,
Yeah, I feel like I have to.
Sure.
I feel like if this is a dude sits down at our table.
Yeah,
like,
I normally, hang out with okay, guys. So I'm going to say, I normally don't like players rolling dice against one another and just let the RP roll.
Should I roll?
Here's my thing.
I'm rolling
all this on the fact we, I mean, I don't know. Who knows if Croft is
what'd you roll?
Be,
no,
you know what? Sorry, I'm going to roll.
No, Brandon, you're good. Right. What'd you roll for insight there, Ignath?
17.
Yeah, you believe. You look and he's like, with the story of both him, Sogo and Victorin talking about it, you do believe that he is not a spy of Emrys.
I'll whisper to Oren, because we're sitting next to each other, obviously. At the table, for everybody listening, we do sit next to each other. So we whisper a lot to each other. But I'll whisper to Oren. I think he's telling the truth.
Time will tell.
That it will.
And I lean over into your huddle also. You sure are a paranoid bunch. This Croft fellow did a number on you, didn't he?
Yeah, he was a real piece of shit.
God damn it. Once again, from the beginning of the podcast, I want to reiterate, Brandon played Croft and is now playing Victorin Amberhall the Fourth.
And I will say to that, this fine work on my chest, which is a breastplate, to other people, is from Croft. He deserves all respect in the world, though he has lost his honor.
I look down at that in admiration, like true admiration.
Just like really a lot of admiration. You're just like, I wish I knew the guy who made that. He did a good job.
And Ignath looks at you, goes, I'm up here, and points at his eyes.
You're like, God, it was a good roll on that roll.
I have seen my fair share of ornamental armor, and I must say that might be the finest chest piece I have ever seen.
For the sake of moving things a little forward.
Yeah, I was just going to say to the group, outside of the normal conversation, I feel like we've kind of grilled Victorin. I don't know if we have much else to do besides, like, we just need to go to Cork, right?
I mean, yeah, that's where I was going to go with it as well.
All right, Dean, tell me where you're going to go with it.
He's not Dean.
Where would Oren go with this?
Oren was going to take this along. Yeah, like, we could grill this guy all night, but if it feels like it checks out that he's not a spy of Emrys, we still have a mission ahead of us. We still have something in mind. Like, we have a goal in sight, and that's getting to Cork, and that's finding out what's going on with House Tain. So if Victorin, if you're planning on joining us for this, get your rest. We have a long journey ahead of us. There's going to be a lot of peril ahead, and if it's something you're looking forward to, there will be no shortage of it. Take your time. Whatever gear, equipment you may need, gather your supplies. We're going to be leaving in the morning.
Oh, I am so excited. This surely will be the beginning, the very first episode of something truly amazing.
Well, we'll see if it's one episode or, we'll see how many more.
That's going to be a fucking ding right there for all of you. I'm writing it down. Don't put it down just yet. I'm just going to give a ding for that. Thank you for
Rick
that.
And Morty.
Yeah.
Morty.
Seven more seasons of adventure, Morty.
You got to sink it up way up inside there.
I don't know.
Do you got a good Rick and Morty impression, Mike?
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me.
Shut the hell up, Jerry.
You got to sink it way up inside there.
Morty, you need to get it way up in there.
Way up. Yeah. Do it for Grandpa, Morty.
Cut.
We all suck.
Sliding this sucks.
We're not
swapping this to. We're swapping this to a Rick and Morty D&D podcast.
The cream always rises to the top.
Morty's ready.
Morty. Oh my God, Mike! Your next character needs to be Macho Man Randy Savage.
A pro wrestler.
There is a like machismo bard class that's based off like luchadors.
But I'm playing a paladin.
So we have a absolutely delicious scotch in front of us, and Garrett, who plays Ichnath, is the one that brought it in. Garrett, do you want to go ahead and give us a little review and history of this delicious Bruichladdich?
All right, the Bruichladdich Islay Barley 2011. All right, so I stumbled upon this. I was actually going to try and buy some of the Bruichladdichs, which, by the way, I wish we could spell this out for people. I'm not going to try to. It does not look like the word Brooklyn.
It has 18 syllables.
It will be in the episode description. I'm going to put it in there.
That being said, the distillery is like really seems to pride themselves on experimentation, which is something that I love out of just any distiller. I feel like the craft beer people have like beaten down experimentation, but I feel like whiskey and especially like bourbon, a lot of what we drink, I feel like there's not enough of that happening. So this is kind of cool that they're exploring some new grounds with this. So this is the sixth variety in the series. It's a single malt scotch whiskey, which means it's 100% barley, and all of the barley comes from Islay, which is kind of cool. It's all local. It's from six different farms, and if you ever go on their website, you can like look at each farmer's name and probably read about their life or something. I didn't get too in-depth into it. So this is all actually done there, and it's super localized because of how they're picking it out. So this was distilled in 2011. It's aged 6 years in oak casks. 75% of those are bourbon casks and 25% of them are sweet wine casks. And those sweet wine casks comes from Austria, Sauternes, which is a French region, and then Rivesalt, which is another French region. And then they're after they're kind of aged in those, they're all married for 6 months and then they go into the bottling process. And I think this was bottled in 2019. The idea behind this scotch is something called something that they're doing with a specificness, which is called terroir, which is kind of like the word noir with it looks like the word terror at the same time. It's this belief that the soil, climate, microclimate, geography, weather, and natural influence will change the quality and flavor of something.
Like New York pizza. They always like, say it's in the water. It's in the water. Wow. I went straight for the accent. It's in the water.
Or something like bagels. A lot of the time they say this is usually associated with wine, and distillation usually strips a lot of that away. But I thought it was kind of cool that they really went for that localized flavor on here to kind of try and capture what is an Islay scotch. That being said, this is unpeated, so we're not going to be getting as much as that typical smokiness.
No peats allowed.
No peats, yeah.
I mean, if your name is Pete and you want to be on the podcast, you're allowed. But if you spell it P-E-A-T...
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Get out. This is unchill filtered. There's no additives in here. So I was actually, I think what you mentioned earlier, I was curious if all scotches kept themselves in a tin to, you know, hide that fact that they're like not going to be all the same color. I know we talked previously about.
But we didn't talk about it on the podcast.
No, not on the podcast, but about different alcohols not wanting in clear bottles. From the same manufacturer. So I know there's a Dominica, which is a rum. It's from Venezuela. They have a like a green, not smoked glass. I don't know what it's called.
Opaque.
Yeah. It's opaque bottle. And they have the opaque bottle because there's variety in the colors and nobody likes to see that when they shop. So I was just kind of curious. I was like, I wonder if this is why most scotches tend to be in these tubes.
I've never thought of that before.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Maybe yeah.
Like
so
in boxes or tubes or whatever. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for good packaging, though, man. Like, yeah, I like open it up. It's Christmas.
I mean, I will say that's kind of impressive. I'm surprised on how much this is like written on this tin.
Yeah,
like there's so much on this. I guess
that's like the.
I guess I don't know if we can curse in this podcast. There's
This is 18 plus.
There's so much on this fucking bottle of like everything that goes. It tells you the farms. You can pretty much read everything about
that's
the region.
A full pamphlet right there.
Yeah. And the reason why we're talking about the color is because, so Scotch particularly, because Scotland doesn't have a whole lot of trees, they buy all their barrels used from America or from Mexico or like other regions that have it. So a lot of Scotch is aged in like ex-bourbon, ex-tequila, ex-wine casks and things like that. So because they've already been used, the color transfer isn't as strong. So a lot of Scotch... it's going to be actually lighter in color than it should be. And a lot of Scotch actually adds coloring to it there. Mike, you were saying there's like a certain dye that's natural or something that they add to
150A. It's like a caramel coloring. Like it's actually written into like what's allowed to be called scotch. Like you can add this without putting it in the bottle and it still can.
I love this, but let's get into, so it's 100% barley aged for 6 years. You said? 6 years.
Yeah. So I'll get, I mean, that's pretty much all I have written that I like did on my
research. Let's drink it, guys.
This.
And, unless there's something like super sexy you want to talk about.
No, I'll just say as you guys kind of like get it, I'll say, kind of on the nose, wrote down some of what this like should be. And we've also been, tasting some of this. So, on the nose, it's going to be malt heavy. It's going to be some wet grass, some pear, grapefruit, apple, and then you'll kind of get that what I think is traditional with the scotch is kind of the seaweed, that kind of navel taste to it, right? Like all that brine in the air, and then some citrus, and then almost like floral notes, something that's going to be more, a little more perfumed. Then some of the other notes that I kind of like, they noted down on the website that I didn't necessarily get were, dried apricot, lemon drop, and then I think like the oak and cereal are one of those things that kind of.
I'm sorry, Dean is just sitting here shaking his head like none of that is true.
Yeah, no, I just tried it. I didn't.
There's a whole fruit basket in this glass.
They even have like tobacco and caramel wafers.
I tasted none of them.
Oh, that's just on the nose. Just wait until we get to the taste.
Give us a taste.
Yeah, the taste. It's going to be Meyer lemon, rhubarb, milk chocolate, and wildflowers. There should be some nuttiness, some almonds, and then some citrus that you find in the nose.
Yeah, definitely.
This isn't peated, so you don't get that typical smoke that you kind of get with that like peated. But this also can, I actually think this, and I don't know, I drink a lot of alcohol, just neat. But this is 100 proof. I do find this like surprisingly smooth. And I do think you do get some of that grapefruit. I don't get any of this coconut, but gooseberry was another listed thing. And then a coastal finish, some white grape and the barley sugar.
So as always, as this is our first episode, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be rating every single cocktail or drink or whatever that we're going to be reviewing on a scale of 1 to 20. And we're doing 1 to 20 because it's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Oh,
it's a theme. You roll a dice.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're not rolling a dice. You just assigned a number. I mean, Dean's probably going to roll a dice because he doesn't like scotch.
It's because we use D20.
Brando, why don't you go ahead, give us like a 10-second pitch on what you think this is, and then give us a number between 1 and 20.
It's very smooth, solid, classic scotch, very malty. I'm going to give this a solid 17, man. I really like this.
17, yeah. Dang, all right. Let's see here. Mike, let's get you next.
Yeah, like I said, super solid. I'm kind of out of the gate pretty hot on this one. I'm going to go dirty 20, like 18 plus 20.
Okay, all right, well, shit. I'm just going to put 18. I didn't 18 plus 2. Sure, I'll put that in. Yeah, fuck it.
You're going dirty 20 on this.
The packaging gives it a plus 2.
I'll keep the table going. I'll go next. I do really enjoy this scotch. Honestly, it is very delicious. It is just for me missing that PD. So I'm going to give it a 14. Dean, what single digit number are you going to give this?
All jokes aside, I am not a whiskey. I will be the worst person episode by episode to give you a review. I will use words that don't matter at all. None of the things that come out of my mouth will be relevant in the slightest. But with that said, the more I drink this, the better it seems to taste. I don't think Garrett described it in that way, but if I had to give this a rating, I would give it a thunderclap.
Can I get a number for the podcast?
That's a cantrip.
so a zero? Because cantrips are called zero level spells?
13.
Yeah. You're going to give it a 13?
Plus 2.
15.
Oh, yeah. Dean, are you just saying numbers right now? I don't know. It looks like you're like really gun to your confused. Head right
you're
now.
Giving a scotch a 15?
Let the man rate it what he wants to rate it.
Yeah,
As I continue to drink it, I don't hate it.
Oh, all right. Cool.
This is big news.
So you said 13 plus 2?
Also write thunderclap, please.
I'll add that one in later. All right, Garrett, you brought the scotch, so we're going to start with, or end with you, not start with you. We're going to start ending with you. Garrett, give us the final number.
I will give the score out the bat. I will go with a 12 with this. I will say, I'm going to side with Owen on, I really like a PD scotch. I knew I was buying something that was unpeated. But I will say the proof on this is nice, but on the kind of opposite end of Dean, I don't like it. The more I drink it, it gets a little bit hotter for me personally. Maybe let's have to sit with it a little bit more, let it breathe a little bit more. Cause I've kind of been downing this last glass. But yeah, I think a 12, it reminds me of like Oban, but I just don't like Oban. It as much.
Like Oban? You Oban a bottle.
Oban.
Yeah.
Okay, Oban.
Yeah, you should watch your Esquire video for that one.
I should. Guys, I highly suggest going on Esquire. It's a wonderful YouTube channel. Look up Scotch names.
So this is the cool thing I love about podcasting. As things happen, it seems like things sink. And one of the things that's quite awesome is I just realized there's five of us and we're rating this on a scale of 1 to 20. So basically, it's on a scale of 1 to 100 at the total, which is really interesting to see. So with everybody's numbers in... I love the naturals versus dirties, but I just went ahead and wrote whatever the 18 plus 2 or 13 plus 2 was. This scotch got a 78 on the total between all five of us. So it is a C+ scotch. Anyways, let's get to D&D.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Yeah? Yeah? Shall we? Yeah? All right, cool. I'm going to cut here, and then we're going to start recording
the theme
again.
Start fucking music.
So you guys can sit there, continue eating and drinking a little bit more. I need everybody to give me a perception check.
Give you a scotch check.
Yeah. Hey, don't tell me with a good time. 22. All right. 4.
16.
Yeah.
That's a 20.
Dirty 20. All right. So pretty much everybody but Ignath, everybody but Orin. Because Orin is a gnome, doesn't handle his alcohol as well. He's a little bit more concerned with the scotch and Natterday in front of him than anything else going on. The three of you see, as you guys are sitting there talking and eating, masked, like, cloaked figure walks into the tavern. So this is a human male. You can tell by his stature, and you can see his face just under his cowl. He's no taller than 5'6". He is clad in black studded leather armor and that's trimmed with like lead gray. So like a dark gray, but not like black, but it's like that really nice like lead or like graphite color gray. And it also has some dark scarlet red as well. He has a cowl over his head. His skin is pale white. It is like skin that has never seen the light of day. White. So like almost translucent, like you can see every single vein inside his skin, completely bald. The most unsettling thing about him is his eyes. You look at his eyes and they're pure white, no pupils. And his irises are like this penetrating sky blue to the point where they're almost white. And after you look at his eyes, you see as he walks, his cloak opens up a little bit. And blazoned on his leather armor is the symbol of Amarius, a white angel's wing crossed with a black angel's wing wrapped in chains. And on his cloak that surrounds him, you see that he is one, if not the highest regarded person in the chains of Amarius.
I'm going to put my shoulder on Orin and just like kind of pull him down, like off of his chair.
Orin,
right? He's like a smaller person.
I'm going down.
And I'm just going to look. I just want to look at Orin and like give him like a knowing glance. And then I just look at a Nessun.
Do we notice that he's noticed us?
No. So you see that he like walks in and he is like Terminator scanning the entire room. Because the entire room is like on quiet and still. If you guys move or do anything, like I am going to need stealth rolls and it will be.
Does
substantial just
drawing a weapon count as an action if I want to do one more thing? Can I take out my sword and do one other thing.
Yes. So drawing a weapon, if you draw one weapon or stow a weapon, it's always a free action. If you do it again in the same turn, that's when it takes another action.
So I would like to draw my Elkin longsword and set it on the table.
Okay.
And all then right. I want to move my back to where the guy is, and I want to look at Victorin and say, let's see how good you are, as I roll my dice on the table.
Give me a stealth check.
It's a 21.
You take your time, and unlike our chairs in this podcasting room that squeak every single time you scoon that moon.
I just
buddy.
Take my butt out. I put my butt to that guy. He looks over. He's like, God fucking damn it.
Fuck you, man.
Look at this butthole.
Yeah.
Ignath, you scoot around. You have your antler sword on the table. You get your back to him. And you are like, you look like you are rolling bones with
like I'm about
Victorian.
To be, I'm playing dice with, I say, let's see how good you are. Yeah. And I roll my dice like I'm going to be playing a game of dice with Victorian.
So my exceedingly jovial manner is now completely dropped. And I have a look of utter seriousness on my face. And I look at you and I glance down at the bones and I look back at you and I nod. And I would like to stealthily move up toward the front of the room without being... drawing attention to myself. So in a very casual manner. Okay, so, to look outside the front window. Gotcha. I want to see if there are other guards waiting outside and all that stuff. All right. So as he's scanning the room, I'm watching his eyes, and like a seasoned pro, I casually get up and I am like crouchingly moving behind people who are kind of sitting down, sitting on bar stools, standing around. And I am just outside of this new figure's line of sight. I go up to the window. I look to see if there are others there, if he has any backup.
Roll me a d20.
Oh, nat 20. So I come back and I, without him seeing me, and I sit down at the table and I lean forward. And I have like a pipe in my hand. I'm very casual because I'm not concerned about anything. And I just inform you, it doesn't appear to be any backup out there. That this figure appears to be on his own.
How far away is he from?
He's 45 feet away from you, but because it's a crowded inn, I'm going to count it as like 70 feet if you want to get to him directly, because you're going to have to make your way through people. And 45 feet for like range attacks and spells, but if you want to move to him, it's 70.
I want to cast Major Image. And what I want the image to look like is... just like it looks, but with three different looking people.
But here's the issue that I have as a DM.
Oh, he's got these weird chain eyes.
Oh, no. Thank you, Ignath, for
he's
saying
got these
it.
Fucking Terminator right. eyes, bro.
Yeah. So give me a performance check. Anessin.
I will say, at our table right now, is this two people playing dice?
Yeah, no, I get it. But
there's nobody else at the table.
I want to, like, creativity. I unfortunately have written this character up, but I'm going to allow a performance check to get past something that this NPC has.
That is a 4 -1, 3.
Hearing Nessie cast some words of power, he makes some hand gestures. Then all of a sudden, in between you and the human male that just walked in, you see almost like a reflection of you all, but instead of it being your own individual people, it's like random people. So like you could like go up to it and you would be like do like a hand gesture to be like a mirror thing. And instead of seeing like Ignath, it's not going to be an orc. It would be another wood elf.
A whole bunch of wood elves.
Yeah, but the picture is a little distorted. And then as this character, this NPC, fucking finally... Sorry, guys. Sorry. I try to write fun villains for you all. He comes across it, looks at the illusion, and you can tell there's that intentional gaze that people can give you where it looks like they're looking right through you. But instead of looking right through you, you can tell that whatever is going on with his eyes... he sees right through the illusion and can see the four of you sitting at that table.
Oren's not sitting at the table. He's below the table. Unseeable.
Oh, yeah. Oren, did you?
Unseeable.
Oren, did you actually allow him to push you underneath the table?
Yes.
God damn.
Yes, I did.
The three of you. He sees the three of you. And without skipping a beat, and the room is still silent, he begins to walk towards the table. I will allow you guys to have another action.
Damn, I never even got my first action.
Oh, shit. Sorry,
you
Oren.
This first one.
Yeah, Oren. Sorry, yeah. Here you go. You actually, you didn't notice him on the perception, so you were out of the first one, but we'll allow you to start this one.
How close is he currently to the table?
I'll say he gets 25 feet from the table. So 45. He's 20 feet away from the table.
Okay.
He's casually strolling.
We're just playing dice.
Yep.
Good time.
But where I'm at with what I can see, I can see him walking with intent towards our table. You can see, or at least it seems that way. Corgi's hanging out right next to the table.
Okay. So you see his shins because there's like a tablecloth. So you can see shins walking towards.
I would assume, you know, this is also not a good situation because I pushed you under the table.
Right. No, I have a plan of what I'd like to do, but based on what Owen just said, I don't think I have enough information to do it.
Go for it.
Do it, baby.
If I see that this person is walking to the table and that...
What do his shins look like? Chains of Emrys emblems on his shins.
Yeah, all over the shins.
Oh, wow. Super visible.
Can you describe the soul on the bottom of his boots?
Yeah. Also has a Chains of Emrys symbol.
Shit.
Yeah.
He's serious.
They're Louboutins. Yeah. You can see the red
underneath.
This guy's
branded.
But that's what they wear in the Chains of Emrys is Louboutins. Damn. Shout out. Sponsor us, Louboutin.
Louis Vuitton or Louboutin?
No, Louboutin.
Louboutin.
Louboutin. It's a shoe.
Louboutin.
Sponsor us.
Is that the red sole bottom ones?
Yeah, it's a red sole. Okay. Like heels. Like ladies' heels.
That's right. I knew that.
I want to create a bonfire like near the entrance behind him, and I want to scream, "Oh God, there's a fire!"
Are you trying to incite
sale? Fire sale on all elvish wine.
Everything must
on all elvish
fruit, everything must go
on all elvish fruit wine.
And speaking of everything, all of you must
go.
Shoes.
There's a fire sale on all HIH birch, which will come eventually one day.
Oh God, that was the worst.
And if this is your first lesson episode that you're listening to, you can find that code at the end of this podcast for 15% off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's no merch and there's no 15% off.
There is after.
Anyways,
you hear
Dean.
This.
Okay, 15.
Oren, I should say, Oren. Okay, so you're trying. So effectively, you're trying to incite like a mass exodus out of this boat.
Yes, at least some amount of chaos that will potentially buy some time for us to make a better plan.
Because it's technically a lie, because you're not actually trying to burn the boat down, I'm going to have you make a deception check. I would say at disadvantage, but because people don't know that this fire was created by you, that would be at advantage. So I'm going to say, give me a deception check, straight D20 roll, plus whatever your deception is.
I mean, there's a fire in the building.
Yeah.
He's not lying.
Yeah, but he's not also not trying to burn the building down.
Yeah, but he don't care if it does burn down.
Yeah, if it burns down, I also don't care. My goal was to not make a fire I didn't want to create a fire below someone and burn someone who's just like trying to have a drink at the bar.
Hey, that asshole over there, I want to catch him on fire.
Bonfire that
but
bitch.
Right now, Oren is smart enough to know that, you know, people from Seraph, the Change, are after us. And if this guy is in here, there's a good chance that it's for our group.
We finna fight.
I hope y'all got insurance.
Hope y'all got insurance.
Somebody call 911.
Yeah, I'll burn the boat down. I'll burn it all down.
Okay. All right, Joker. Oren, I'm going to give you a performance check at advantage.
I got an 8 minus 1, which is a 7. but I would like to use Flash of Brilliance.
Uh-oh.
That is an artificer
ability, yes.
Class ability. That basically lets me use my reaction to add my intelligence modifier to an ability check or a save.
Hell yeah, man.
Okay, I like this.
So plus 4.
So 11 is the total?
So 11.
11. So funny enough, the DC I set in my mind was 10.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong here. I realize that Create Bonfire is a concentration spell, but I can't cast any other spells, or I just can't cast any other concentration.
No other concentration spells.
Okay. So then I would like to cast Prestidigitation, and I want to touch Corgi and have a flashing red light start his head. And I want to say, everyone out now, there's a fire.
Boom, flash of fire. Corgi comes running out from underneath the table, and there is this klaxon, like red spinning bell, like alarm that's going off. It's like the alarm on your iPhone in the morning. It's like the most annoying one that everybody fucking sets on their iPhones because it's the only thing that actually gets them up in the morning.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. Guys, you don't use By the Sea? Are you serious?
No, because that puts me to sleep.
I used a John Moreland song. Shout
out. I'm not going to play it. I almost played it.
I mean, there's the A Day to Remember song, though. Wake up! Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom.
No? You guys don't use that one?
No. Anyways, Corgi comes running out. You see that, like, the bell, like the old-timey, like, cop, like the red light that's just circling over and over again. And all of a sudden, like, everybody's eyes trained to this giant, 5 foot tall and wide bonfire by the door, and just the entire bar fucking erupts. Everybody's just standing up. So goes, oh, please keep calm. Keep calm. Everybody, single file order. Everybody out. Everybody out. Stay calm. But nobody is staying calm in any of this. As the entire bar erupts, you not only see everybody just run towards the door, everybody is running towards this NPC. I almost gave his name away. This NPC, and just through all the clutter of all these like 50 plus people running through it, you lose sight of the cleric or the person of Emrys. You lose sight of Sogo. You lose sight of the bard, and just everything just is just whitewash almost, just of like gray noise, static, and just people are just running out as fast as they possibly can. What would the four of you like to do?
I want to. Victorin stands up. In this cacophony, people, chaos.
Good word.
I want to stand up, and I pull out my machete of Yarn Tar and my Gnollsfang dagger, and I am facing, just very statuesquely facing where I last saw this Chains of Emir's character.
Give me a perception check, actually, Victorin.
That would be 16.
So you look up as you stand up and look into the crowd. And you lock eyes with this Chains of Emrys. And he looks completely unaffected by the people. Even though he's a small statured man, you see people like running, trying to get past him. And he looks like every single person is just bouncing off him like bullets on Superman. And he dead stare, like locks eyes with you.
All right. I'm going to hold that stare.
All right. Give me. I'm trying to think what an eye staring contest would be. Would it be Constitution or would it be Will?
No, I'd say Concentration. Well, so like they'll probably a Wisdom save, right?
Yeah, it's Constitution.
It's Constitution because how long can you go without blinking?
Gain. All right. Yeah, I like that. Victorin, give me a Constitution saving throw. Right,
yeah, they are.
Yeah.
All the bars on fire. Everyone else is running.
Oh, shit. Did you see that?
I saw that. Yeah.
What happened?
I saw that.
What
happened? It was
all the line between 18 and 12.
And it just tipped.
And then it just barely flipped over to 2.
Last second. Last second.
Oh, my God.
I got a fucking 3.
So I want this for the record. For the fucking record, this is the first time I've rolled a D20 on this podcast. Uh-huh. And it was a nat 20.
You asshole.
I am crying. I am just sobbing uncontrollably.
I'm so happy with this right now. This is why I'm evil, cruel, and malicious, but lovingly tender.
He's a new character, Owen. Be gentle.
Be gentle. Okay. So
So you're not attached, is what he
means. Yeah, you're just not attached.
You didn't order that mini yet.
I was gonna buy one. Well, nah.
All right. So anyways, Nat 20, you deadlock, like dead stare, lock eyes with him, and you just feel this unnatural, horrific horror overtake you, and you have no choice but to just run away as fast as you possibly can away from him. You are, I'm going to say, effectively feared for one round.
Shit.
Anesim, we're going to go to you. Anesim, what do you want to do?
See people running, so I'm going to like, oh no, there's a fire.
All right, give me a stealth check at advantage.
Actually, you'd know where he was earlier, right?
Yeah, but with the chaos of all the people that started to run, it's hard to.
But he still knows where he was.
Yes.
So yeah, if he chose to run toward that.
Yeah, like I'm not saying you're gonna like you can get to the door if you want to.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna take you like a turn or two, but it's gonna take some stealth checks because it's still like you're using the chaos of the people to get out there, which is stealthy.
Okay. That is a
look at that.
Oh my dear. Is that the second one tonight for you? Fuck this.
Dude's rolling nothing but 20s.
But 20s tonight.
I think that might be the title of tonight's podcast, Nothing But 20s. That's the first episode, and there's three nat 20s already been rolled. Anesin, I'm going to allow you to move twice with that nat 20 with a stealth check. And so basically, like, you duck and hide, and you, if you want to, I'll allow you to, like, move, bob, and weave through people and can actually get outside the inn from the front door if you want to invest that much to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to abandon the crew, but I assume we're all going to try to, like, take evasive maneuvers.
Yeah. So, like, if you want, like, you can get out, like, out the door and you can take, like, a 5-foot step and you can be, like, hanging on, like, one of the windows that, like, looks in so you can still see the crew. All right, that works. Ignath, what do you want to do?
I am going to make my way toward the chains.
Okay.
How far is he? Estimate?
So it's 20 feet but because of like all the bustling and moving people, I'm not going to give full difficult terrain. I'm going to say it's 30 feet, not 40.
I just picture that I'm a bigger character also pushing through this crowd.
Instead of making rolls or... This is going to be the downside of this podcast, too. Natty, with the amount of fucking drinks that we're drinking. It's like every single time I talk, I have to fucking
just
burp.
Just do what you want to do, man.
Ignath, you all see Ignath stand up. He notices Victorin shaking in his boots. And you start walking your way towards this Chains of Enrius, and you are just barreling through everybody. Like
I get to him and strike him.
Yeah, you can get to him and strike him.
Oh, shit. You're going to draw first blood?
I'm going to have two hands on the longsword.
Okay, two hands on the longsword. So it's versatile, so 1d10.
Yeah, two hands on the longsword. I get in front of him, and I'm going to look at him and be like, why have you come here? And I'm going to cast Ensnaring Strike. And I will cast that as a level 2 spell.
Give me an attack roll.
25.
Nah, that misses.
No fucking way. That's his AC.
No, it hits.
Like plus 9 to hit.
So give me some damage. Give me some damage.
I like draw the longsword and put it against his neck. Like I feel like that's like a
cool. Oh, yeah. All right, cool.
That's like a cool, like.
Yeah.
You're close I'll take to getting, it. Okay. Like you could have been hit, but I didn't hit you.
Just before it hits him in the clavicle area, you stop it and like just kind of pokes him in the skin just to bleed a little bit and you cast Ensnaring Strike on him. What is your spell save DC?
13.
Strength saving throw. He rolled a natural 19. Natural 19. Thorny vines start to like come up. These spectral vines come up from the ship and they start to try to like lash him and grapple onto him. You notice from out of underneath his cloak, there's a bunch of actual spike chains that are like self-animating that come out of him and are batting away every single one of your vines.
Dude, that's so cool. Where did the chains come from?
Like underneath his cloak. Because remember he was wearing like a big cloak. So it's like out of it.
Are they like physical looking chains?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like actual spike chains. Okay.
So the chains of Imrius are like, that's a literal term.
Not necessarily, but it seems like this guy is taking it literal.
Is this my turn or can I say anything?
I'll allow you one single sentence.
Don't move.
So if an essence outside... And Victorin's running upstairs. If I see Ignath going towards and putting a blade to his neck, I'm going to run out from under the table. And I guess I should have enough movement, mount up on top of Corgi. Okay. And so the chains guy, describe his appearance for me again. Sorry.
No, it's
so
all good.
I know I heard cloaked figure.
Mm-hmm.
Black
studded leather armor that is like trimmed with charcoal, like graphite gray, and also very, very like dark scarlet.
Okay.
And he now has like self-animating spike chains coming out from him. Like Spawn, you guys? Spawn. Spawn.
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
yeah, like nice. Spawn.
Good reference.
Yeah, thank you.
And those are like, those are originating. Can I tell where are they coming out of his body?
Yeah, it actually looks like from like his back area. If you give me a perception check, I'll tell you some more.
Yeah, I'll try and see if I can tell where they're coming out of his body. 18.
You notice that he's wearing a belt that is wrapped like six times around him. And that belt is all spike chains. And it looks like all of it is coming from his belt.
All right. Then I'm going to reach into my pouch at my side. I'm going to pull out two little metal balls. I'm going to rub them together, place them in my palms. And as I open my palms, they shoot out and attach to his belt. And I want to cast heat metal. Choose a manufactured metal object, such as a metal weapon or a suit of heavy or medium metal armor that you can see within range, and that's up to 60 feet. You cause the object to glow red hot. Any creature in physical contact with the object takes 2d8 fire damage when you cast the spell. Until the spell ends, you can use a bonus action on each of your subsequent turns to cause the damage again. If the creature is holding or wearing the object and takes the damage from it, the creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or drop the object if it can. If it doesn't drop the object, it has disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks until the start of your next turn.
Damn!
Dean, give me 2d8 fire damage.
6. Sorry, I do hate to be that guy. He has to make that constitution save when he takes the damage.
Unfortunately, you can't drop this item, so...
Well, this is going to get real hot for him.
You see his belt, which is this spike chains, glow hot red around him, and in zero facial expression. It is almost not bothering him.
What about on the inside? Does it look like one of those moments where he's like trying to look real cool, calm and collected, but on the inside he's definitely like,
give me an insight check.
11.
Okay. Ignath.
And a 13.
He seems stone cold sober. Ignath, you see two of his chains fly towards you, but he has disadvantage because of heat metal.
Appreciate it, Oren.
19 hit you?
19 hits.
Both of the chains, they strike you straight in the chest. Give me a strength saving throw.
13.
13, yeah, okay, you're successful. So you feel like not only when it hits you, it's also trying to like shove you back. So you don't get shoved back, but you do take 14 points of damage. Oren, where did you end up moving up to? Did you get close to him?
Yeah, I'm still right at the table. I got on top of Corgi and then cast the spell. I'm
okay.
So 30 feet, I think.
30 feet, okay. He can still hit you with disadvantage. Oh, what's your AC again, Oren?
22.
He rolled a 21 with disadvantage.
That's not enough.
No, is it? Cool. Awesome. Two more chains you see like come out and like around some of the people and like are homing in an Oren, but miss. Ignath, that's a 6. Plus
3 attacks. Whew.
What's your AC, Ignath?
17.
17, yeah, it misses. Oren with his fourth attack and just says, parlay. A Nessun next. He does say parlay.
Yeah, definitely thinking. I mean, I guess Anissa's going to come back in.
Do you actually want to talk with him?
Yeah, I'll honor the parlay, sure.
Oren?
I'll drop heat metal.
Okay.
And I'll say parlay.
Ignath.
Is there an attack action to press my sword further into his neck? Or is that something I can just do as an intimidation?
I'm going to say that's more of intimidation.
Parlay with a question mark.
Yeah. His has upwards inflection.
Yeah. Parlay?
He just locks eyes with Ignath as everybody else clears out the Howling Cutlass. After like 2 turns, so 12 seconds later, the room is completely empty besides for U5 plus Corgi. He puts his finger up to your sword and attempts to push it away. He says, I do believe parley means no harm to any one of us.
though harm has become one of us, if not something of a trade, is it truly parlay?
Well, you all initiated the attack.
Ignath, it's fine. Drop your sword.
Can't believe I've initiated anything. I've told somebody to hold.
Do you, when he puts his finger like in between his neck and your antler sword, do you when he attempts to move it away from him, do you let him move it away?
Yeah, I'll let him move it away, but then I'll heft it over to the other shoulder.
As he gets free from you and like moves the sword away, he walks away from you and he is heading towards the back of the bar, like behind the bar. He looks over and sees Victorin.
Now, I'm assuming my round of fear is over now?
Yeah, it's over. Okay. Yeah.
So I stand up in order to redeem myself. Victorian says, now I confess that magical fear you infected me with was invigorating and powerful. But I will tell you, it has ended now, and I doubt that same trick will work twice on me, fiend. And I have my sword and dagger ready.
Go sit on the other side of the bar.
I definitely do not obey that.
He stands with his back towards the entire group, and you see him looking at the back bar. After a few more seconds, you see him grab a bottle. And you all notice that is probably the most expensive bottle because it is highly aged gnomish schnapps. Very long, very dark in color, very delicious. Like, if you all were, like, sitting there, even though you all made a money because you've been venturing for a while, like, this bottle would set you back. Like, it is like a 300-year-old bottle of schnapps. He then grabs 5 shot glasses, puts it in on, it turns around, puts the 5 shot glasses on the bar, opens up the bottle, like, with his teeth, and pours a shot into each glass. And passes. Like, he like doesn't pass it to you, but like you could see him move each shot glass towards each one of your directions. He grabs a shot glass and holds it up.
Nissen does that.
Victorian sheaths his sword and dagger. Well, I am not one to pass up an expensive liquor. And I take my little shot glass.
Orin?
Orin trots to the bar. And grabs a shot glass.
Ignath?
I will place my sword on the bar in hand, and I will take the shot glass in my left hand.
He cheers each and every single one of you to health and takes the shot.
I do as well.
And has some drinks.
Orin drinks.
I do not drink.
It is improper to not drink what is given to you. I have shown you it is not poison, for I have drank from the same bottle.
It is improper to strike those you wish to drink in health. I hold nothing against you, Chains, but why are you here?
You three, then he looks at you, Victorin. You are not the human that I was seeking, but you three have someone I want.
I'll take the shot. And I'll say, it is just us.
Then you have sent her and her father somewhere else then, haven't you?
Sent who?
You see one of his chains, like Medusa's snakes, like automatically react to you lying and like get up into a point of almost attack. And he treats it like a snake and just kind of pats it and like rubs it a little. It's like, shh, it's okay.
Those have a mind of their own?
They do.
Well, if you're attempting to tell us to stay under control, make sure those stay under control as well.
As long as no harm comes to me, you all will be safe.
Who are you looking for?
Devana and her father, Ral.
What do you want with them?
That's for me and the rest of the chains to know.
Then where were the chains when she was kidnapped?
We weren't told.
then you must not have wanted her very much.
Things come to light in all sorts of ways and times. We want her now. We've been told that the three of you, plus a previous human, had her in Seraph.
Are we in Seraph anymore?
No.
Chains, man.
But you all are still under the rule of Amrius.
Well, she's not with us. You can clearly see that. I believe our business is done here. We are not her protectors. We are not her guardians.
You say that, but I think you all have taken roles as protectors or guardians of her.
We would be very bad at that job if that were the case. As you can see, once again, she is clearly not here.
Maybe you all sent her somewhere else, like I had said before. Where is she?
If we were to need to tell you, if we knew where she went, how would we let the chains know? By letting you know or by letting others know?
You can just tell me right now. As the commander of the chains in Seraph, I can give you my word.
And as he says that, the commanders of chains in Seraph, you all know that this is Draven. He is the high cleric of Amrius in Seraph.
Look, I know you all burned down a warehouse in Seraph. I know you all committed multiple murders in Seraph. Give me the girl, and I will forgive all your crimes.
You all committed murder and arson?
Unless there's evidence against us, which I'm confident to say there isn't, I burned nothing down. I did nothing but protect myself and my comrades. I believe the culprit you're looking for would be a little bit further away in Cork, maybe more associated with House Tane.
Why did you say that?
They were the ones looking for Devana before you.
Orin, give me a persuasion check at advantage.
8.
Why? Oh. Okay.
So you see, like, much like Sogo, that there was a ding, like a light went off inside of Draven's head. Like he figured some shit out.
We lost her the night that warehouse was burned down. Thugs from House Tane took her to Cork. That's where we're headed now.
That's a deception check.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a really good fucking lie because you basically told 99% of the truth.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give you advantage. And not only am I going to give you advantage, I'm going to give you a +3 to the roll. So advantage with +3 to your normal roll.
15.
15 is actually what the DC I set was at. So that's perfect.
And why didn't you report a kidnapping to the authorities in Seraph when you had the chance?
You'll have to forgive us for that. I've worked all over.
What's the world's name?
Helios.
God damn it.
No, that's staying in.
Emrys, what again?
No, I kept wanting to say Amrys. I was like, Amrys is not the world.
No, that's the god. That's the elder god. That's the elder god.
Yeah. I've worked all over Helios. And I may not always agree with everything that the chains do. I've seen them do good by people. I've seen them do wrong by people. So I have a code of my own that I felt this was something that we could handle. And how would we have known that the chains were seeking her?
A lot of what you just said was blasphemous, but in your ignorance, I will forgive you. But still, you fucked up.
Well, it's better to ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
That's a fucking nice. That's a great line.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you for throwing that back in my face. I actually, as the DM, I really appreciate that.
Magic the Rathering.
You say that to him and you can tell that you fucking struck like something in him, and he literally just chooses to ignore you, Oren, and looks towards Anessin. Elves usually have better sense about them. What do you have to say?
Well, the gnome hasn't lied. We intend to take matters into our own hands. The chains failed her, but we will not.
Chains fail no one. For what we do is the true will and decree of Emrys. I thought a race like yours that was not went extinct like your cousins would understand that.
Yes, my cousins. Such a noble and honorable thing to not bow to a god who thinks that he knows better for everyone. And as thousands of people every single day are abused and murdered by various vagrants all over Helios, how dare you say that the chains and Emrys care about anyone?
We care far more than anyone else has.
You care to control everything. You care to make sure that no one does anything that gets in your way or goes against your decrees, but your decrees do not benefit all people.
They do, for they are simple and just. Is that not the most fair it could be? Emrys' decrees did not say that the High Elves had to breed themselves out of existence. Emrys' decrees did not say just because you aged like the rest of us that you could not be worthy. It is the most fair and just thing that has ever come out of Helios. And it is a damn fucking shame that you are here with an orc, and it seems like his blood and clan no longer believe that.
And you continue to speak as someone who thinks that you're just and fair, yet you don't understand how important it is for races to be unique and to be different, and for everyone to experience life in the way that intended to do so, yet you want everyone to live the same exact existence without anything unique from one to the other.
You truly don't understand it. Emrys did not want the uniqueness of each race to go away. He just was sick and tired of races like yours living for thousands of years. Then he looks over at Victorin and goes, and races like yours that could barely live to see 100. Is that not fair and equal that he made all of us the same when it came to our longevity and lifespan?
Unfortunately, I feel that by trying to make things the same, he has ruined any chance of races understanding the unique qualities in which they bring to the world. And in the same turn, he has forced everyone to live the same existence, and that has caused chaos.
Victorin, he looks over at you. As a human, I'm sure you have to agree. Don't you believe it is fair and just that now you get to live the exact same amount of life that your compatriot over here lives?
Victorin pours another shot glass of the expensive liquor.
He then slides his shot glass over to you, the gnomish schnapps.
Pour one, another one for the chain, slide it back, and I throw it back. And I say, my life is already too long as it is. I don't know about gods and lifespans. All I know is a man should be able to live as he would. Should he be confined in the ways that others think he should, or should he just live freely? You, Chain,
I don't understand your ways. I don't know if I want to. All I know is these three salt of the earth people. So far, they seem interesting to me, and I would hate to dull them with certain rules of living.
But as a noble, aren't you one that has always set themselves above the rest?
Indeed I am, as we all are in many different ways. But I do know this. If you are looking for some innocent woman to do with as whatever it is you want her for, I doubt my friends here will give her to you.
It seems as if the four of us could never really come to an agreement. You're just not smart enough to get it. But if you all four are going to Cork, I will join you. I will help the four of you rescue Divana. And at the end of it, you will submit and give her to me. If not, I will 100% smite each and every single one of you right here and right now and not bat an eye. And I will assure your souls will not be given any pardon in the afterlife.
Torin pulls out his machete of Yarindar and says, now I might be the new guy around here, but I don't think these gentlemen are going to respond too well to threats. And with my sword, I swipe all of the shot glasses off the table. It's where they crash. So I don't think you're going to be traveling with us.
We've done the fighting part. We gave you the information you asked for. Yeah, you told us this was a matter of the chain for the chains to handle. We're out. Handle it. We'll see you in Seraph. Good day.
Before you go, and you are going, I do want to ask, what is it that you want with this? What's her name? Divana?
Give me a persuasion check.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll give you a
fucking 20? Dirty 20?
So as he's like turning and looking away, it's like turning, he walks away towards you. He kind of does that like cool guy side glance as he like looks away and you just see like the side of his face.
She might be the most God-touched person that has ever lived inside of Helios.
And he like turns back away and keeps walking.
And as he goes to walk out the door, I want to cast Prestidigitation one more time.
You want to make him smell like he shit his pants?
No, because he would smell that. So what I will do, though, is Orin would like to cast Prestidigitation and just make it look like on his back, he's just got a giant kick me sign.
Classic.
Give me a stealth check, because I do believe Prestidigitation has verbal components to it.
It does, and that's a 19 plus...
Wow.
Adam.
19 plus 2.
As he tells you a very interesting plot point that was meant to give a shit ton of discussion to this group for you guys to pay attention to and lead into various minutes of talk, Orin successfully casts Prestidigitation onto Draven. And Draven does not notice it, but now his entire back has a big-sized post-it note that says, kick me.
Oh, he'll notice it soon enough. Walk through town for a couple minutes.
As he leaves the Howling Cutlass, about 10 seconds later, you hear, ugh,
why did you kick me?
Nesson walks up to the bar. Grabs the bottle of, picks it up, takes a big old chug, and sets it back down and says, I believe it is time for me to retire. And heads back to Beachfang.
As Innocent is leaving, you see Sogo, the owner, the old orc owner, walking back in now that Draven is gone and it is just you four.
What happened here?
Head of the chains came in, looking for some fugitives. We sent them in the right direction. He did, however, confiscate your bottle of gnomish schnapps, which I thought was wild.
There's not much you can do with those chains.
Assholes. All of them.
I agree. There's a reason why I'm here in Asema. Is it okay if I let the rest of the patrons back in, whatever is left?
Of course, it's your bar. Don't let us, you know, it feels like some commotion happened. Someone started a fire. But that's gone out now. Everything seems to be fine. You know, just make sure you tell everyone around Asema that Dirty Iknath and the boys handled business.
Oren, as you say that someone started the fire, give me a deception check at an advantage.
I'm going to blow another flash of genius.
Oren started the fire. It was always burning since the words were turning. Oren started the fire.
BA 15.
15? Yeah. That song. Yeah, Sogo does not sing that song. But we all know that Oren started the fire.
We all know.
You see, Sogo turned around. He heads, like, steps out of the Howling Cutlass.
Hey, everyone, it's okay to come back in.
And over the next, like, 20, 30 seconds, you see not, like, the entire, like, 50 people, because no one, like, not a whole, everybody waited, but you see, like, 15 to 20 people, like, head back in, and the bard heads back in, and they kind of try to resume some sort of normalcy. And what would you think would take a bit of time, it looks like this entire, like, city and this entire tavern is used to the chains of Emrys coming in and, like, breaking up the party. You all decide that you need to go and outfit Beach Fang, right? So there's been more and more ships as you have spent time in Asema that have been docking back to it to make the city of ships more and more filled. You guys ask around town, try to figure out, like, hey, is there any, like, carpenters or, like, interior designers and things like that? And you find that Tenacious, what was it called, Mike?
The Tenacious Thread.
Tenacious Thread. And it is a very, very, like, exaggerated ship. You see, like, all these crazy colors. You see, like, just massive amounts of people partying and just having a good time at the Tenacious Thread. It looks almost like it's more of a party than it is an actual shop.
Hey, so we got a ship. And
who are you talking to? Just, like, a random party person?
Yeah.
That's there?
Yeah.
It's a tiefling, like, just, like, female that's just, like, sitting there partying. Hey, yeah, woo, yeah, Tenacious Thread, yeah. Hey, oh, hey, Wood Elf, yeah, what's your story?
So we're trying to buy some stuff for our ship. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Could you point us in the right direction of a merchant?
Oh, yeah, you should probably talk to Dak White. He's the owner of Tenacious Thread.
Okay. And where is Mr. White?
You'd probably find him, like, below deck. He's not hard to miss. He's a very stout halfling.
Thanks for all.
Oh, you're welcome. If you ever want to rage, let me know.
I then go around to every single person and ask, are you Dax White? Are you Dax White? Are you Dax White?
And every single person says no.
And I'm right behind him just, like, tipping my hat, just, like, politely at everyone. Carry on.
Iknath and Victorin take 2 hours, what should have taken 30 seconds, to go through the entire ship and ask every single person that wasn't a stout halfling if they were Dax White.
Sounds about right.
Oh, shit, that's Jack Black. It's not Jack White.
I like it, though.
Yeah, Dax White. We're gonna go with it, Dax White.
Better if it's Jack White.
And you guys, like, make your way through. You eventually get to, like, the lowest tier, like, what should be the storage room of a ship. And, like, you look at it, and it looks like it is the most private area of, like, a club or bar or restaurant you've ever been to. Like, red velvet carpet, red ropes, bodyguards, whole nine yards that'll let you in. You could kind of peer in and it looks like everything's just covered in this like most like royal purple. Like the beds, the carpet, the walls, the ceiling is covered in purple, but even the ceiling, even though it's covered in purple, is like has this like mirror sheen to it, so you can kind of see what's going on.
Did you just come up with all of that? Because you didn't know we were going shopping today.
Yeah, no, that's all was off the top of my head right now.
Oh my gosh. Love it.
So you have two very tall ogres that are denying you entry into the area where you would assume Dax White is at.
How tall are these ogres?
Like 9 to 11 feet.
Oh, shit, they're tall.
Yeah, they're tall.
Is Anessen with us? I'm assuming Anessen might come along for the ride of us asking everybody frustratingly.
Maybe he's like talking to the ogres when you guys show up. Yeah. He's just like, okay. We're just looking for Dax White.
Yeah. Well, state your business.
We're trying to outfit a ship. We have a ship. We need things. You have things.
Define things.
Nesson, we've been looking for Dax White.
Me as well. These ogres will not let us pass.
Yeah. Define things.
Beds.
Yeah. Beds.
Do you have them? Can we purchase them?
Talk to Dax White.
Yeah, that's what I want. Oh my God.
And I want to walk up behind a frustrated Anessen and I take my top hat off and I walk up to one of the ogres and I with my thumb, I flip a gold piece, like I flip it up into the air toward him for him to catch at.
So you see both of the ogres. You know like that scene when Dwight is pretending to give birth to a watermelon and like Michael goes to grab it and he just can't. He's like, oh, I covered in Crisco. Like the ogres, both of them are like rushing towards this gold coin and neither one of them is like, they just kind of get a grip on it and it's like shoots out of their hands. So like the two of them are like going back and forth, like bashing into one another, trying to get this fucking the single gold coin, because obviously they aren't making enough money at the Tenacious Thread. So eventually it leads to them running into each other, knocking each other on a head, and knocking each other out. They rolled a 2, minus 1, which is 1.
Thank God.
Right. Well, problem solved.
Indeed.
And I open the door that they were guarding.
So the four of you peer past the curtain that is there and you just see two stout halflings. Actually, it's going to be one stout halfling and a rock gnome, and they are just both of them rocking out on guitar. And one of them is just singing great songs, just going back and forth, and you can tell that they are might be playing the greatest song in the world. Dax White and Ken Fuel, you see there, they're playing it. Dax White slams the guitar, like puts his hand over Ken Fuel's guitar and looks at you, he's like, hey, what are you all doing here?
Hi, Mr. White. We need beds.
Beds? Don't you know? I am the greatest interior designer and you just come for me for simple beds?
Well, we heard you had the Thimble of Destiny.
Oh, fuck off.
Nice.
How long have you been holding on to that one? The Thimble of Destiny, that is an item only heroes can attain. And I am a hero.
And we are in need of beds, so... What you got, Mr. White?
How much money do you have to spend?
Outside of that, have you ever heard of the creature Beach Fang?
Only in legend.
Well, I'm sure my wizard friend could entertain you in more than legend.
Wait. You're telling me that you are asking me to give you beds for Beach Fang.
Absolutely.
The living oak tree boat of old.
So this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to outfit.
I need a moment to think. Kenfuel, what do you say? As he goes on his guitar, do it.
Yes, as Mr. Fuel has told you.
Done. Tell me where to find your ship, and I will outfit it to the best I possibly can.
Yeah, and Anessin just gives him the location of the ship.
That was the easiest things ever.
We needed that, though. Yeah.
We need easy.
I think we needed
we
that.
We need beds.
We didn't need, we didn't even try to kill him.
Yeah. We need beds.
You know, just give him beds.
I pull out my sword my and orc, I threaten him.
My orc friend will put his deer antler sword up your ass.
It's like, look, we're going to fuck you up. Do what we say.
You want to see a thimble of destiny?
I want my gold coin back, too.
Yeah. You have to win a battle of the bands.
Oh, yeah.
No, this isn't, yeah. No, this
I would like to sign up for your school of rock.
Well, one of them is a rock gnome.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
It's a long way to the top if you got to rock and roll.
It's a long way to the top if you're a rock gnome. Guys, it was right in front of you.
It was right there. Oh. It was right there. Oh,
dude. You guys all leave the Tenacious Thread and head your way through Asema. Because it's still a smaller city, it is bigger now since you guys first arrived because more and more ships have come back. As you guys get to Beachfang, you can see it has already been fully decked out. Entire main deck is like this nice purple carpet. You guys look and the mast has been like stained wood has been like put up and down. It like it looks like already Dax White has done a whole entire degree to this entire place, and it looks fully furnished. See that the entire crew is still hustling and bustling, and you can tell that the shipment that Thatch was meant to deliver to House Tain and Cork is getting put into jail cells.
Now, are these humans? Are these like the animal people?
Every single one of the people is like different. So you do see anthropomorphic animals, you see humans, you see orcs, you see Aarakocra, Kenkus, like you just see any and every single race, elf, walrus people, Tuskens is what they're called. You see just all these various races and you see about like 40 different slaves that Thatch has purchased in order to deliver to House Tain, getting like sent down into the deep, dark bellows of Beachfang. You all hear Beachfang. This isn't necessarily what I signed up for. I thought we were going to be adventurers and do good and make the world a better place. And here I am transporting slaves.
I do apologize.
Oh, Anessin, good to see you. Could you talk some sense into the crew?
I will do that now.
Thatch?
Yeah?
I understand what you were tasked to do, but we're going to do things differently.
I do believe the entire plan that we had come up with earlier was I was to deliver these slaves. Who's this guy, as he points to Victorin?
You all are slave traders? Thought you were adventurers.
I understand what are... Look, we are going to take down House Tain, but we will not transport these people this way.
Let them be free on the trip.
They can make their keep by helping with the crew and doing duties around the ship, but they will not be put in prisons.
I thought we were doing this at one point in time. I thought we had decided differently as we approached Cork, as we approached Asema, that this was not what we'd be doing as a part of our deal.
You know, you might have said that, but I'm still... I want to make gold. So I figured I'd double down. I'd sell the slaves to House Tain, and then, you know...
I'm sorry, Thatch. I thought that was on whatever name of your ship we used to be on.
Smiling Devil.
The Smiling Devil. I see that you're no longer a captain of such.
But you kind of have made me the captain. The Beach Fang.
The co-captain.
Look, I get it's a sentient ship. I don't really need to captain it, but still... If anything was to happen to Beach Fang, I kind of feel like I'd be the one to step in. And it's my crew. First of all, I want that to be stated for the record. It is my crew that is on Beach Fang. It is not your crew. It is on my crew. And I am paying you all to help take down House Tain. Remember that.
See, you're paying us, and you have received a legendary ship on which to regard your whole pirating. I'm sure you've profited off of the sale of the Smiling Devil.
Okay. First off, any points back at Victorin?
No, disregard him. He's new.
I thought we were adventurers going on an adventure.
You look strangely familiar, though. I think you might have been on my ship before.
And I... Thrust out my hand, and I go to shake his hand. Victorin Amberhall IV, nice to meet you. And when I shake his hand, I have 5 gold.
Give me a sleight of hand check.
Mine was a 16.
The three of you, Iknath, Orin, and Anessin, give me a perception check.
7.
19.
12.
Anessin, you notice when he reaches his hand out that there is 5 gold in his hand when he gives it to Thatch.
Nice to meet you, sir. It's Victorin Amberhall IV. And you are?
Thatch Shoebuckle. He grips your hand very tightly and pulls that 5 gold that is in your hand out.
Well, it is certainly good to meet you for the very first time.
For the very first time. And he turns and walks away, and you see... All three of you, or all four of you, I should say, see him. He's now like flicking a coin up and down in his hand as he walks away.
Co-Captain Thatch.
He turns, just Captain.
These people will not be treated as slaves on my ship.
Nesson, persuasion or intimidation, I'll let you choose which one you want to do.
It's a 7.
Perception is reality, Anessin. And if you want to sell this reality, the perception needs to be real.
When we get to Cork, we'll let them perceive what they must.
Okay. He claps his hand. The entire crew stands at attention to him. Let them eat cake.
What?
I chop off his head.
Fucking murder him. Get the fuck out of here.
Beach
Fang has a guillotine set up.
Let them taste freedom, I guess.
Thank you.
Shall we set sail and let adventure begin?
Well, put us on course for Cork.
Thatch looks over at Beach Fang and says, to Cork.
Victorin walks up to the very bow of the ship as we're departing.
Don't you fucking dare do it. Don't you dare fucking do it.
And I I walk up to the ship, and to myself, unless you're noticing, I say, to Cork.
Thank you so much for listening to our pilot episode of Hammered in Helios. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Hammered in Helios, or subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/HIHpodcast. Also, a special shout out to Marco Agiro for our absolute banger of a song, 20 Ways to Die. Find him on Instagram at TheMarcoAgiro. Our next episode releases on July 19th, and we review Chartreuse Liqueur. Now, let's get hammered.